Roger Cressy is a partner at Good Harbor Consulting. He served in senior cybersecurity and counterterrorism positions in the Clinton and Bush administrations. Roger, what was Cyber Command originally set up to do?
Well, the shorthand is it's looking to defend the nation's military networks. There was a realization by Secretary Gates a couple years ago, really in the Bush administration, that the existing military command structure was insufficient to deal with cyber because it's a cross-cutting issue. And by that I mean there's not one command, either strategic command or central command, that has ownership of it. So you needed to build a new command to do it. The second realization was the level of intrusions and penetrations and attempted penetrations of the U.S. military networks by outside actors had grown exponentially, and there had been some significant events that the Defense Department had alluded to back in the 08-09 timeframe that also prompted the establishment of Cyber Command. So it was really two things. One was the need to reorganize to come up with a better structure to deal with this issue, and the second was an acknowledgment that the threat was growing and they needed to do a better job in combating that.
You mentioned some precipitating events, some incidents. What do we know about those incidents? What happened?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot that has been published on it, but it's a couple things. Really, you've seen non-state actors for years now looking to penetrate the U.S. Government networks and also the military networks. And that is more of a nuisance than anything else. But the real change was state-sponsored activity. And there principally, I think, the Russian and Chinese activity is what drove the Pentagon to take these steps. The issue is not that they're going to attack the networks and look to bring them down on a specific day. Instead, the issue is they're going to look to penetrate the networks and sit there, pull information, better understand what our war planning is, what our military planning is in general. And then if there was a time where there was a crisis, be in a position to launch a type of distributed denial of service attack or use a bot network to bring down elements of these networks. So one is about vacuuming information, and the second is lying in wait in time of crisis and then attacking the networks.
We're talking about government networks being attacked. We're talking about Department of Defense networks being attacked. Presumably, we're also talking about the ability of this Cyber Command unit to respond aggressively as well. It sounds an awful lot like war, except over computer networks. How well do the rules of war translate to a war being conducted on computer networks?
No, that's a crucial question, and the answer is we haven't figured it out yet. I mean, even go back to the Cold War and some of the Cold War terms that we used with regard to nuclear weapons, deterrence, launch on warning, escalation dominance, all of these things have been discussed when it comes to cyber attack and cyberspace, but they don't really apply because in the Cold War world, you had the haves and the have-nots. Some had nuclear weapons, others didn't. In the cyber world, everybody really has the same set of weapons. And the difference between offense and defense is usually just a keystroke. So the U.S. government and the military in particular are trying to come up with doctrine, trying to come up with rules of engagement for how do we deal in an environment where both the adversary and us are operating pretty much on the same playing field. The good news is we do a very good job at offensive operations, but if we're looking to respond to a potential attack, one of the biggest challenges out there still is attribution. How do you identify who actually launched that attack? And once you do, what type of response is appropriate? Is it a response in kind in cyberspace, or is it a kinetic response where you do something in the physical world? I mean, these are huge issues that the Pentagon is really just starting to get their arms around.
Cyber Command is under the Department of Defense, and the way you've described it, it pertains to Department of Defense networks. Is there overlap to networks used by you and me to get on the internet at home? I mean, does that enter into their jurisdiction at all?
No, it doesn't specifically. The Department of Homeland Security really is responsible for the government's efforts at dealing with non-military networks. But the reality is DHS does not have the infrastructure and the resources to do this properly, and that's due to a couple things. The first is non-government networks, they're not owned by the government. They're owned by the private sector. 80-85% of our critical infrastructure is owned and operated by the private sector. And so there's been a recognition for years now to have a better public-private partnership to secure these networks. And frankly, to use a diplomatic term, we stink at it. We have failed miserably, bipartisan failure in coming up with a partnership that makes sense. So the department is still trying to do that, but they have really not gotten that far. Second part is DHS doesn't have the institutional experience and expertise to do this the same way that NSA does. So the public face for dealing with non-government networks is going to be DHS, but the real brains behind it, the real resources are going to come from NSA. And frankly, that's the only option we have available to us right now.
It seems to me like you have a lot of large government agencies and a kind of large semi-defined problem and a lot of people wanting to solve it, not a lot of concrete rules or coordination behind doing so.
And the other problem is there's a little bit of the Nero fiddled while Rome burned. I mean, we are – in some respects, we are too late to the problem. President Bush in 2008 signed the Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative, which was a very large government initiative aimed at defending the U.S. government networks and really aimed at reinvigorating the U.S. government's response to threats in cyberspace. But the fact it was done in 2008 is a recognition of failure. It's a recognition that we had not done enough to deal with either the threats from state actors or the threat from non-state actors. So we are trying now to come up with organizational structure, effective interagency cooperation, and then doctrine and rules of engagement for the military. Meanwhile, our networks are being hammered by state and non-state actors millions of times a day. So you're – in some respects, you're trying to build the plane while you're in flight. The other metaphor here is you're trying to bail water out of a sinking boat at the same time trying to sail it, and it's tough to do.
When you say being attacked millions of times a day, what do you mean?
Well, even General Alexander in his most recent remarks talked about Pentagon systems are being probed over a quarter of a million times an hour and over 6 million times a day. I mean, stop and think about that. And it's not just individuals manually probing, but automated networks, bot networks, where you have a number of computers that are linked together going after government networks, looking for vulnerabilities, looking to exploit those vulnerabilities, either to put in malicious code or to put in logic bombs, where if there is a time and place where the adversary chooses to, they can activate those logic bombs and really wreak havoc on the network systems. So General Alexander is just talking about 6 million times a day for government, for military systems. Think about non-government systems. Think about, you know, DHS, health and secure HHS, people like that. And then think of the private sector. Think of all the companies out there whose intellectual property is critical to their company's performance and to our economic competitiveness. They're being attacked multiple times each day, maybe not at the same level, but certainly in the tens, if not hundreds of thousands.
Are they getting in or are they just bouncing off the force field, as it were?
They're doing both. With the CNCI, that's the Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative that President Bush signed in 2008. That was a recognition of failure. I think that was a recognition that government networks have been breached and that this is a pervasive and serious problem. In the private sector, I would argue it's even worse because you've really got two categories of companies. You've got those that understand the problem and are trying to do what they can in a rear guard action to better defend their networks. And there are others who are just in denial. It's the, you know, won't happen to me. I shouldn't worry about it. So if you think about what are really the most important sectors of critical infrastructure, telecommunications, banking and finance, utilities, electric power, things like that, there has to be greater government assistance in securing those sectors because it's not just a private sector responsibility. It's a national security responsibility. So the government has an obligation to secure the critical infrastructure, I believe, but we still haven't figured out a process to do it that makes sense.
You know, we talk about these different agencies. We talk about the privately held networks versus the government networks. If there was a situation where government networks are completely under attack at heavy risk, are mechanisms in place where the government could shut down or take over those privately held networks, the things that you and I use to do our banking and send email, get on the internet?
government always has capability to do things that they don't want to do. But that scenario, I think, is really tough. And instead of the government acting unilaterally, it would be working with AT&T and Verizon and others who network operators that really operate the core of our information networks, and say to them, there are threats out there that aren't just attacking us but are attacking you. We need to work collaboratively to eliminate those threats, or at least to black hole them, if you will. There are some relationships in place to do that, but there is not an agreed upon framework. And there's an interesting element to this, which is, say the U.S. government is under attack in cyberspace and the United States decides to respond in cyberspace with an offensive attack. What is the role of the private sector in that scenario? What should the private sector do? Should the government notify the private sector saying, we're about to launch an attack, you need to be prepared for the response by the bad guys so you get to better defend your networks? There is a fascinating element of cyberspace attack which brings the private sector in, either as collateral damage, as a unintended co-conspirator. All these things still have to be worked out. And that's why the challenge of this is so tough, because you're operating already in an environment where we're being attacked on a daily basis at such a high level, yet we're still trying to figure out the rules of the road to deal with it.
Roger Cressy from Good Harbor Consulting, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.